Well, it is good to be here with you this Sunday, and last week I had the privilege of worshiping with our family in St. John's, and it was an awesome time of gathering with them, and I'm really, really grateful that Pastor Jessica was here, and how kind she was, and showing solidarity for forgetting to unmute her mic, just like I do all the time. We know that that happens, and it's really a lot harder than you think to remember to unmute yourself. And so we had a good laugh about that this week in our staff meeting, and we just had fun with it. But before I get going too fast, there's a few things I just wanted to share with you that are coming up that Pastor Mike, I told him not to do and that I would handle. And so if you've been with us for a little bit of time, you know that we have this class that we have called Grace Point 101. And Grace Point 101 is this class that you can take to know more about who we are as a church. What is our mission? What is our vision? What do we value? What is my purpose here at the church? And it's an opportunity for you to become a member of Grace Point. And so we want to have one of those classes, and it's taking place April 14th, and it's right after our Sunday services, and we'll provide lunch, but we're asking for you to RSVP to that event so that we can have enough food for it. And so if you could email office@gracepoint-mi.org, or you can connect with myself after the service, we would love to get you signed up for that so you can know more about who we are. And then last thing I wanted to share with you is that a couple weeks ago we sent out an email and we had some technical difficulties with it. And what I mean by that is we had a button on there for you to click and fill out a form. And that form was supposed to send an email to us. Well, it didn't. It was broken. And so we are just asking that if you filled out that form, and what it was about was if you are interested in volunteering or serving here at Grace Point, if you filled that out, we would love to connect with you. And what I'm going to ask you to do today is if you clicked on that button, went to our website, filled out the form, is I'm going to ask you to fill out one of the Connect cards. It's a blue card located in all the pews. And just fill one of those out and let us know that that was you. There was about 13 of you, I believe it was, that clicked on that button. And so we want to connect with you. We want to know what it is you're interested in so that we can keep that ball rolling. Cool? I'm so glad you're all awake. You know, as I've been thinking about today's message and just some things going on, I've noticed how there's a lot of disconnects in our life. Have you ever known that? There's things that are disconnected, like our button and email, like they didn't work, they're broken. There was something missing, there's a link missing. And I just realized that I have to remember that I'm at our Owosso campus today and I can't walk where I want because we record our video messages here. And so I have my box that I need to stay in and I've already gone way out of it. I'm sorry, Michael and Glenn. Man, all right. But sometimes there's a disconnect that happens, like forgetting where you are in terms of camera position, right? Or sometimes, maybe it's just me, but I have this thing where I'll start writing out a text, or I think I reply to somebody with a text message or an email, but I just write it in my head, and I never send it. Have you ever had that disconnect? Maybe that's just me. And sometimes we have these things that like we think we do or we think about and we want to do, but we never actually follow through on doing them, right? There's a breakdown in there. Something's disconnected. And some of us even have this thing that happens where something we think is going to happen never really happens, but we still act like it happened. I have an example of this. There was one morning, I should have asked permission for this. I'm sorry I didn't ask permission to share this. I love you, my wife. There was one morning where Andrea woke up and was mad at me. And I did nothing wrong. I hadn't even woken up yet. And so when I woke up, she let me know that she was mad at me. And she said, well, you did something to me in my dream. And I don't remember what it was, but I'm mad at you. I don't know. It just happens, and I don't know if I ever got over that. My therapy right here. I'm glad you guys are here for me. Thank you. you can build the church later. My email is glennrupert@gracepoint. There's times in our life where it feels like we think about things, but yet we never do them. Like we miss the mark. We know what we're supposed to be doing. And even in our relationships, we know how we're supposed to be acting. We know how we're supposed to be treating one another. We know exactly what it is that we are meant to do in order to follow the Lord and to love our neighbor well in the way that God calls us to. But yet in reality, when the rubber hits the road, it doesn't happen. We miss it. We're disconnected. Today we're going to open up our Bibles, and we're going to be in the book of Kings, in 1 Kings, and we're going to read the story of a man named King Solomon. And if you don't have your Bibles, there are some provided for you in the pews, and if you want to use your phone, go ahead. I invite you to turn there. You can text your neighbor later about my therapy session. And one of the things that you might notice with King Solomon is that there happens to be a disconnect in his life. And so we're going to look at his story and look at how his head and his heart are disconnected. And there comes a point in his story where things collide and something happens. And we're also going to be fast-forwarding. We're going to look at the Jewish people and how there was something going on in their heads on the day of Palm Sunday, the day that we celebrate here today, how there was something going on. And then later on in their hearts, they're missing something. And the worlds collide. And we're going to be looking at all of that too, but I don't want to jump too quickly. I want to start back in 1 Kings. And so as we get close to this moment where Solomon's going to become the king, his dad before him is a man by the name of King David. And King David in 1 Kings 2 gives Solomon really, really, really good words of advice. Probably words that we should take to heart today. And as death is approaching David, he says these words to him. He says, "Observe the requirements of the Lord your God. Follow all of his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and all the laws written in the law of Moses so that you can be successful in all that you do and wherever you go." He says, "If you do this, then the Lord will keep his promise that he made to me. Because he told me, if your descendants live as they should, if they follow me faithfully with all of their heart, with all of their soul, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel." David tells his son Solomon, this is the way to live your life. You do it loving the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul. You follow the commands that have been given to you. And as you do this, you will see success in everything. And what's amazing is Solomon actually does what he's told. He takes this in and he does the very thing that he's told by his dad. In 1 Kings 3, it tells us in verse 3 that Solomon loved the Lord. And one night, Solomon is going to make a sacrifice like he's supposed to. And as it was written in the law of Moses, he's still following these laws. And as he's doing this, the Lord appears to him and says, "What is it you want? Solomon, you can ask me anything in the world. What do you want? And I will give it to you." Solomon is in awe that God would be so kind to him, that God would be gracious to him, and he worships him in a moment. And then in 1 Kings 3, 9 through 12, it says these words. It says, "Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and so that I can know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon asked for wisdom. So God replied, "Because you asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice, and you have not asked for a long life or for wealth or for the death of your enemies, I'm going to give you what you asked for." We're told that God's pleased with this request. And so he gives to him the wisdom that he's asking for to lead God's people. And what we see is Solomon is actually incredibly wise. As we read through the book of 1 Kings, I just got to highlight some examples for you of his wisdom, of what he knows to be right, of him acting and doing things well. In 1 Kings 3, 16 through 26, there's this story of two women fighting over a baby. They're fighting over whose baby it is. And so King Solomon, in his wisdom, says, well, we're going to cut the baby in half and give half to you, half to you. Sounds like a wise plan, I guess. But what ends up happening is the woman who's actually the mother of the baby says, don't do that. Don't cut the baby in half. She can have the baby. And that's how Solomon knew who the mother was the one who actually loved this child and was willing to give up their right as a parent so that the child could live. In 1 Kings 4, 20 through 34, we read about how Solomon's wisdom is completely unmatched in all he does. That the people are so numerous of Israel, this nation becomes as numerous as the sand on the shore. And Solomon actually ends up writing down a lot of his wisdom for us in the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. We have a lot of his words of wisdom that we can read. And in 1 Kings 6, 9 through 10, it tells us about the temple being built and how this was a dream of his father's, but yet the plans never came to David. And so now Solomon has the opportunity to build this amazing temple for the Lord, this place and house of worship where God can dwell and for the people to honor him. And then in 1 Kings 10, it tells us about how Solomon is so successful. That everybody from all over the nations, they all come to him. They all seek his wisdom because the kingdom of Israel is getting so big and so prosperous. And they come to him and they ask for advice. They say, what is it we should do? Solomon is leading the people. He's doing what he's told to do and he's leading really, really, really well. He's using his head. He has all the knowledge. He has all the answers, and he's currently living that way, but that's not where his story ends. So what goes wrong in the story of Solomon? Well, his heart gets led astray. In 1 Kings 11, 1 through 2, it tells us about Solomon's heart. It says, now King Solomon loved many foreign women. Besides Pharaoh's daughter, he married women from Moab, from Ammon, from Edom, from Sidon, from the Hittites. The Lord clearly instructed all the people of Israel, you must not marry them because they will turn your heart to their God. Yet Solomon insisted on loving them anyway. In a different translation, the way that this verse starts in 1 Kings 11, 1, it says, King Solomon, however, loved foreign women. And then it continues to say that after the Lord's instructions are there, it says, nevertheless, he insisted on loving these other women. Solomon had all the answers. Solomon had all the wisdom. However, there's a disconnect that happens, and he failed. There's a disconnect that happens between what he knows and what he actually does. And in verse 4 of chapter 11, it tells us, in Solomon's old age, his foreign wives and all the women turned his heart to worship other gods instead of being completely faithful to the Lord, his God. See, one of the things that we have to remember is the history and the context of which this is taking place. It was actually common for all of the nations around the nation of Israel to have multiple wives. And they did this as a way of solidifying their alliances with each other. And so what they would do is they would gift a wife to somebody to say, here's a wife, now you protect us. And if you remember, the nation of Israel is growing and growing and growing at this point. They're as numerous as the sand on the shore. They're huge, and everybody is seeking them out. And so people were bringing to Solomon all of these wives so that they could be in alliance with one another. But if you remember, Israel is God's chosen nation. It's God's chosen people, people set apart, called to be holy, called to be different. They're not to be like everybody else, but they're to follow the command of the Lord, the command that says, have one wife. See, it would have been really unwise to not use this strategy, but God says, it's okay, I have a different purpose for marriage. And Solomon, in this moment, he forgets that he is called to faithfulness. The disconnect is that he can't remember to be faithful and that he's not meant to be like everybody else. And in becoming like everybody else, what we read about is his heart becomes divided between all of the kingdoms, all of the wives, everything that he has. It becomes clear that he loves the gifts more than the giver of the gifts that he's been given. And he's stored up so many treasures, but he forgets about the one who is meant to be treasured above all else. His ego becomes addicted to all the accolades of those around him that he no longer hears the voice of the one who knew him best. And then we see this collision where the head and the heart have to meet and the Lord intervenes in a way where we see that there's destruction in the life of Solomon. Here's what it says in 1 Kings 11, 9 through 11. The Lord was very angry with Solomon. His heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who appeared to him twice. He'd warned Solomon specifically about worshiping other gods, but Solomon did not listen to the Lord's commands. So now the Lord said to him, since you have not kept my covenant and you have disobeyed my decrees, I will tear the kingdom away from you and I'm going to give it to one of your servants. And the result of this happening is the kingdom becomes divided. God is actually gracious in this moment and allows Solomon to stay on the throne. But what happens is we see that what is no longer, and what could have been is no more. And entire generations following King Solomon are affected because of his unfaithfulness. They're affected because he had a palace full of wives. See, nobody starts out wanting to be unfaithful. I don't believe anybody starts out wanting to destroy their own life. I don't believe anybody starts out their life wanting to have chaos and disorder in it. But the reality is this happens a lot in our worlds. And it even happens in our own lives and the lives around us. We let things that run counter to God's way of being and doing fill our hearts and completely disconnect us from the Lord. We give Solomon a really, really hard time about his palace full of wives. But I would argue that we probably have our own palace full of our own wives. We have things that we hold on to. We have things that we do that are wrong, and we know it. But yet we still hold them, and we hold them tight. And this problem isn't just unique to Solomon. This problem continues and continues in Scripture. And so we're going to fast forward now to this day called Palm Sunday in Scripture. And we're going to see how there's a head and a heart disconnect, and how when the worlds collide, something happens that causes destruction. It says this in John 12. It says, the next day, the news that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and he rode it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt. So I'm going to give you, just before we dive into this, just a little bit of history so we understand what is actually happening here in this moment. The Jewish people are under Roman government or slavery under the Roman regime. They're oppressed by them. And during Passover, it was actually a common time of uprising in the Jewish culture. A lot of people would rebel during this time because everybody, all the people of Jewish descent, would come to Jerusalem to celebrate this Passover festival, this time where the angel of death passed over in Exodus, and so that the people could be freed from slavery. And in 4 BC, we read of a story where a number of Jewish people were gathered in the temple. They were worshiping, but then they also gathered together and got together and stoned a company of Roman soldiers. They started an uprising. And in response to this, there's a Roman ruler that comes in. And he comes in riding on a horse through the streets with his massive army. And what happens is he ends up killing 3,000 Jews on that day. And Passover is canceled. They can no longer honor and worship God for what he did. And then if we fast forward to the day of Jesus, what we see is Jesus comes in, not riding on a horse, but riding on a donkey. And the Jewish people hear that he's coming, and so they go to the streets, and they cry out to Jesus. They say this word, Hosanna. And Hosanna, it's a two-part Hebrew word. The first part of the word, Hosanna, means liberate us, help us, or save us. And the ending part, the na part on the end, is a sense of urgency. It's saying, urgently do this. And so what they're crying out on that day is, save us, we plead. We need you now. Liberate us now. Free us now from what we're facing. And they're crying out to Jesus to save them. In Matthew's version of this day, it talks about the people putting coats down on the road. That was a common symbol of coronating a new king coming in. Actually, in 2 Kings, we read of the Jewish people doing this to a man by the name of Jehu. And so what is happening here is they're crying out, save us, and they're crowning a new king in Jesus as he's entering into Jerusalem, this place where they're under this Roman occupation. And then there's something also interesting. We call this day Palm Sunday. And that's because the people would lay palm branches down. Palm branches were a symbol of independence for the Jewish people. There was a man by the name of Judas the Hammer in history. And Judas the Hammer was somebody who led this uprising for the Jewish people. And during his revolt against the Roman regime, they actually minted coins. And what they would put on the coin was a palm branch and a palm tree to say, we are no longer Caesar's, but we are our own people with our own money, and we are independent of what you're doing. So what is happening on this day is the Jewish people, they're saying, you are the new king. You are the one who is coming to free us from the oppression. We are independent of what is going on with the Roman government. And Jesus, you're leading the charge. You're leading the revolt. This is what they're saying in their head. But what's happening in their hearts? In John 19, we hear of what happens in their heart. Says this, it was noon on the day of the preparation for Passover. Pilate says to the people, look, here's your king. Away with them. Away with him, they yelled. Away with him. Crucify him. What? Crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar. This king that they desperately wanted, this king that they were just crying out for, this king that they were trying to force to lead a revolt, the one that they were praising, the one that they are worshiping, in their hearts they're now calling for his death. Their heads knew that they needed saving, but their hearts were not ready to receive what they were being saved from. And when their head and their hearts collide, we see destruction happen. Their faith in Jesus' ability to free them goes completely away. And what happens is Jesus is led to a cross. See, here's the thing. So often when we hear of the cross, when we hear of a collision, we think of something as when we hear of a collision, what we see is the destruction in it. We see two things meeting and they both get damaged in a way. But in the kingdom of God, God uses the tools of this world for a greater kingdom purpose. And we read about that in 1 Corinthians 1:18. It tells us about the cross and how it wasn't what it seemed like. It says the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. For the Jewish people, the collision of a nails and a hammer on a cross meant death and defeat in the world. But in the kingdom of God, he uses these tools for a very big and a greater purpose. God uses the cross not as a way of death, but as the way to life. So what does this all mean for us? What does it mean for us on this day? I believe that today we are called to do the deep, hard work of self-evaluation, of self-reflection. And we're going to invite you into a time to do that in just a moment. See, some of us, we have to begin by letting go of the palace full of wives that we have. We have to begin by letting go of the thing that we hold so tightly. We have things that are our howevers or our neverthelesses. It's something that we know we're not meant to be doing, but yet we keep doing it anyway because we're familiar with it. So what is it you need to let go of that you're holding on so tightly? For others of us, it means that we need to stop trying to force God to do something that is counter to his kingdom. See, the palm branch was a tool in the world, and it was the symbol of a revolt and a rebellion, and the people wanted to force Jesus to do something that God was not ordaining. So what is it that we're trying to force in our life that God is saying no to? What is it that we're asking God's blessing on instead of doing what he's already been blessing in our lives? I want to end our time together just by doing an exercise with you. So I'm going to invite you just to sit comfortably if you can. I'm going to invite you just to close your eyes. If you would just close your eyes. I just want everyone to take a deep breath in and out. Take a breath in and out. I'm going to ask you to sit with your hands and a fist on your lap. And keeping your eyes closed, we're going to ask God what it is that we're holding on to that we need to let go of. Ask God to reveal to you what is your palace full of wives. And ask God to reveal to you, what is it that I'm trying to force happen that you are not in? God, what is it that I'm trying to do that you are saying no to? And as you ask those questions, as you feel led, I'm just going to invite you to open your hands and let go of those things. Now I'm going to invite you just to sit with your hands open in front of you, with your palms facing up. And I want you to ask God, God, what is it that you are giving to me that I am meant to use for a greater kingdom purpose? Just ask God, what is my greater kingdom purpose? just going to invite you to pray with me. God, we come before you, fully aware that there are things that we hold on to in our lives that are not of you. So, Lord, would you help us, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to let go of them. And, Lord, we know that there are things that we are trying to force happen that you've said no to time and time and time again. So, God, would you help us to stop and let go of it, so that we can fully follow you. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would show us our greater kingdom purpose. God, you would show us the things that you have given to us that we are meant to use for you, not just for ourselves. Holy Spirit, would you help us to use all that you give to us faithfully, honoring you every step of the way. God, we ask that there wouldn't be a disconnect between our head and our heart. And God, I'm reminded of the words of Solomon himself that tell us to guard our hearts, for they determine the course of our life. So, Lord, would you help us to guard our hearts, guard our heads, so that we can fully follow you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to end our time together with this song of prayer. We're going to sing the song as a prayer, asking God to be the very center of our life. So I'm just going to invite you to stand if you are able and worship with us as a prayer today. God, that is our prayer, that you would be the center. Holy Spirit, would you empower us to go and be the people that you are calling us to be? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us in worshiping with us. We hope that you have a great week and go and live your greater kingdom purpose. You are dismissed.